Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the street day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the streets telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Tell you he can save. The Lord can save. Ooh, he can save. Save your soul. I tell you, through Jesus Christ, your life can be changed and made whole. He can bring everlasting joy and peace within your soul. Ooh. And in many ways, I feel just like that old man. Born in the country, raised on a farm. No money, no fancy clothes, no fine homes and cars. But thank God, mama and daddy raised me up on the real deal. And that's God Almighty. And sometimes when I sing about Jesus and people won't listen, I feel like I'm just a nobody.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's give all honor and glory and praise unto God today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. As the song said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. This message today is about saving lives. So I'm a little heavy in heart today because I got some news again about losing some battles, and a few of my friends' children lost their lives, and I'll explain more in detail. But let us go right into prayer. First and foremost, God's word is always the same. It never changes, the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And I thank God, Father, that you tell us in Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ears that I sing. Let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto them that find it, and flesh and health to all our flesh. It is so important that we recognize that God's word is the only thing that's going to help us experience the life that he intended for us. That life is an abundant life. That life is a life of purpose. That life is a life of hope. That life is about trust, one that we can trust, who would never fail us. He would never leave us or forsake us. This is what God is all about. This is the life that we want to have. But so many people don't see this. So many people can't recognize. So many people have lost hope. So many people cannot take into account that the true way and the way, the truth, and the life is only through Jesus Christ, only through him. Father God, I just thank you right now that you open the minds and the hearts of many. Father God, take away the hard heart, Father God, and let them have the heart of flesh. Let them be open to begin to believe in you. Help them, Father God, to have a mind to receive by being transformed of the renewing of their mind. Not just theirs, but mine as well, Father God. I don't want to exclude, put the they and exclude me out. I ask right now, Father God, that all of us will have a mind to receive, Father God, the mind and heart of Christ. This is what we need today, Father God. This is what we need today. I thank you, Father God, that you continue to allow the Holy Spirit to rise up in us all, Father God, to be our guide, to be our counselor, to be our comforter, to be our corrector, to be the one who directs us in the direction that you have for us to go. Father God, there's no other way. Father God, many people are folding under the pressures of life, the cares of life, and where the prayers that are going up, Father God, are being compromised because they're losing sight, Father God, and they're letting the cares of life choke it out, choke it out. But, Father God, I believe our prayers right now, Father God, are falling to the good soil that produced the 40, the 60, the 80, 100-fold return. That's what I'm believing now, Father God. Satan is a lie. Satan is under your feet. We are rebuking him right now in the name of Jesus. We are moving towards life. We are speaking life, Father God, from our tongue right now. I trust you, Father God. I trust you. You said you give us perfect peace when we keep our mind on you. I thank you, Father God. I just praise and honor your name. I know, Father God, whether it's one or it's many, I pray right now for the world, Father God, the world, everyone in the countries, the states, the cities, the community, the neighborhoods, the family, the each individual, Father God, from the elderly to the unborn, Father God, that right now they receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. And, Father, even those who have not come out the womb like John the Baptist, Father God, they're jumping anyway because they're ready to receive you. I believe this right now, Father God. I believe this, Father God, because you're the only way. You're the only way, Father God. This world is, Father God, being deceived every day. Deceived by the lies that Satan is projecting as he utilizing the hosts of some people, Father God, to create fear, to create doubt, to create a lack of hope and trust. I'm praying, Father God, that you that we be open right now, Father God, to receive what you have to offer. You give us joy that's unspeakable. You give us peace to surpass all understanding. You give us the armor, guardian angels, your whole armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the sword of spirit, and the shield of faith, to stay in the race, to stay in the battle, to be soldiers for you. I thank you, Father God. I praise your name. I magnify your name. I say hallelujah to your name. And as I go forward today, Father God, I know this message, Father God, is not a message that's going to make many shout. But, Father God, I believe, Father God, we can't heal what we don't reveal. So I thank you as I go forward. Guide me, direct me, Father God. Let the words that I say have the dunamis power, the impact to change the minds and hearts of many so that we can see that we need to be iron, the sharper iron, that we're there for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, today is going to be a different type of message, more of an informative message, but a message that needs to be stated, because again, as I said earlier, I've lost many people along my life journey to suicide. But today, I believe that God is sending a message to us to make us wake up. Wake up at how we interact with each other, how we relate to one another, how we communicate with one another. Are we there for one another? Today is the time. It's time for us to be iron, the sharper iron, supporting one another. Today's quote says, always have a willing hand to help someone. You might be the only one that does. You see, that gentleman in the song, he says that people pushed him away. People didn't accept him. People reject him because he don't look, he don't act, he don't perform the way that people think he should do or should be. Well, the reality of it is that that's not what we're supposed to do as people. We're supposed to love one another, keep each other supported, elevated, encouraging, motivating one another. But are we doing that? Another quote is, great opportunity to help others seldom come, but small ones surround us every day. It's the small fox and the spoiler vine, but it's the small seed that can move the mountains. We need to be willing to help one another. See, those little small opportunities, when you see someone you're passing along the way and they need a helping hand, we've gotten away from being that neighborly person. When you can stop and take a pause for the call and say hello, one hello could change a person's mindset from not giving up on life because you acknowledge them. Another one is selfless giving is the art of living. So one of the Army value key components is my favorite, selfless service. Christ showed us selfless service. It wasn't about him. It was about us. So when we're out there and we're interacting with other people, are we trying to show that we care about them, we value them? Are we conscientious? As a song from the Temptations song used to say, love woke me up in the morning. What wakes us up in the morning? Is it to wake you up so you go to your job so you can make some money? What wakes you up in the morning? Is it waking you up? Are you waking up in the morning and you feel that, hey, only thing matters to me is about me, myself, and I? What's waking you up in the morning? Is it waking up in the morning so you can show your family that they have value and purpose in your life? What wakes you up in the morning? Is it waking up in the morning? Do you say that, how can I be a service to others? Can I be like Jesus? I wasn't brought here to be served, but to serve. What wake you up in the morning? Another quote is, the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. He that loses life gain his life. See, you gain because we're not self-consumed. And the scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And in Galatians 6:2, for you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. Last week and throughout the series, I talked about love, learning how to love. You see, one of the key components in love is that it says that love is always being patient with one another, being kind to one another. It's not keep records of wrong. It's not self-seeking. Love. This helps others to feel connected. The scripture tells us in Hebrews 10:24, and let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good work. Provoke love. Create love. I know there are variations of the expression of love, but love is so essential. See, I truly believe in my heart, no one would take their life if they felt their life had value through love. Romans 12:10 say, love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Outdo one another in showing honor. Deeply. Not superficially. Because superficially says it's about me, myself, and I. But the deep love, the love that goes to the core, gets into the soul from breast to breast, bone to bone, this love here changes lives. This love makes people feel they have value and purpose. See, God said, I know the plan that I have for your life, a plan that you would prosper and you have hope in a future. Many people who give up in life don't see a hope or a future. They don't see it because they don't have hope. So why would they have a future? Prosperity is not in their mindset because maybe everything they try to do just didn't pan out. The 1 Thessalonians 5:11 said, therefore encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. Are you building people up? Are you elevating, motivating them, encouraging them? And with a sincere heart, not because it's the buzzword or because it's the thing to do. You know, there are a lot of motivational speakers out there. I work with a few. Some truly had a sincere heart, and others, it was all about the paper. They had the charisma, they had the personality, they had the look, and they were using it to their advantage because it was about them. And what we're doing to elevate, motivate, encourage people, is it about you or is it about helping someone else? And if they help someone, as the saying would go, they pay it forward. So let me tell you a few stories of people who attempted to take their lives. As I said, this is not a motivational or more hype-you-up kind of message today. This is more informative. This is about us being accountable and responsible. As I said, you cannot heal what you don't reveal. The long wait. In December 2001, Barry Parr was working as a window cleaner in a tiny UK village. One afternoon, just as he was finishing his job, he heard a yell and looked up and saw a 14-year-old girl preparing to hang herself from a nearby tree. Already showing signs of his heroism, Parr grabbed his ladder and raced across the road to try and talk her down. That's when things got real. The moment Parr started to climb her ladder, the girl jumped. Luckily, Pa managed to catch her in his arm, holding her far enough from the ground to save her life. Less luckily, he found himself stuck up on the ladder, holding a violent teenage girl, desperate to squirm out of his grasp to finish the job. Lord have mercy. Bear in mind that this was the middle of a very cold winter, and the two were all alone in the village. How long do you think Pa managed to hold up her? 10 minutes? 20 minutes? It was a whole hour. For an entire hour, Par balanced on the ladder, because these, I believe, the angels were sustaining this, holding hysterical suicide girl aloof in a sheer cold. Eventually, someone realized what was happening, and they called the ambulance, and the girl got saved completely. Another story, the kiss that stopped suicide. One of the worst things about being young is the way passing things seem somehow permanent. So when an unnamed 16-year-old Chinaman faced yet another example of fate reigning all over his incredible poor family, he decided to step out rather than suffer a life of torment and misery. Climbing over the rail of a pedestrian bridge, he prepared to jump, at which point a passing waitress named Lou Winshow decided to get involved. Despite having never seen the kid before, despite knowing nothing about his problems, she followed him to the rail and did the only thing she could do. She listened. She listened as this 16-year-old randomly described the pits of his life and what he was experiencing through the process. She listened as he listed the endless problems tearing his family life and his personal life apart. And as they stood there surrounded by cops and the pedestrians, Lou told him the story behind her own attempt, quietly, firmly, without any contrite. And when she was done, she leaned forward, hugged the boy, gave him a kiss, and the boy suddenly decided that maybe life was worth living. All Lou had done was something no one else had ever thought to do. She given the kid her full attention and really listened. And that slice of kindness was all it took to save his life. The suicide reunion. In March of 2000, a 22-year-old Kevin Burton climbed over the railing of the Golden Gate Bridge to prepare to jump. What happened next became stuff of legend. For an hour, Burton waved on the edge of the highway patrol officer Kevin Bridge tried to talk him down from. And as the rush hour traffic swerved past them, the two held quiet, intense conversation that accumulated to Burton climbing back onto the bridge. At this point, most suicide stories end there. The guy is safe, and the hero gets the paw, and everyone tries their best to forget about what happened. But this is not an ordinary story. Barreto never forgot Bridges helping him that cold Friday morning. And in 2013, when the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention decided to honor Bridge for his tireless effort, Burton was going to make sure no random Joe was going to present the award. Almost 8 years later to the day after Bridge saved his life, Burton not only got the thanks from the public, but he also got to introduce his family, including his two kids, that never would have manifested had not Bridge intervened. So what's the moral story? Hope is a very essential aspect of life, and when those who feel hopeless can't experience this key element, which would help them to feel that there is a future, they give in. Therefore, it's important for us to let others know that they have value, and sometimes it's just a kind gesture that can be the difference that makes a difference. You see, each individual came along at a time when people felt hopeless. They wanted to give in and give out. But someone got past themselves and went to help somebody else. And that leads us into our story. It's not about you or me. It's about showing others that they are loved too. It's about showing others they are loved too. Too often people are walking around and they feel that they're not loved, they're not valued, they're not appreciated. And sometimes they're walking around where they have experienced this, but because they got so hard-hearted by expectations of people of them being specifically wanting something from a specific individual, that they can't even have an open hand to receive the love and compassion and empathy that one is trying to show. See, Satan is good at putting the delusions on. See, we've been conditioned so much about not looking at the blessings that are before us because we're always trying to reach out for blessings ahead of us. It's so important that we learn how to relate and communicate and show love and be able to receive love, because this will be the key element that prevents us from giving up on life. So this show stems from, as I said, a hard news that I got today from my buddy about fellow soldiers who had taken their life and Christian brothers whose sons had taken their life. A 20-year-old decides he's going to take life and shoot himself in the leg, and he bleeds to death. A 15-year-old decides he's going to shoot himself because he broke up with a girlfriend. And a fellow soldier takes his life because life seemed not to be worth it. The PTSD took over. Too often these kind of subjects are sweeping our land, and we're just experiencing it across the board. As a matter of fact, and in most cases, people don't want to address it. The church don't want to address it. Families don't want to address it. People in society don't want to address it. But it's real. It's real. And see, Satan understands this. As I said, he creates the illusion that it's not a big deal. Oh, that's such a small percentage of people doing this. But the reality of it, Satan is always trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is something that we have to strive hard to try to prevent. Let me give you some statistics on this. Again, this is about lessons that we need to pay attention to. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in all ages. Every day, approximately 130 American people die to suicide. There is one death by suicide in the United States every 11 minutes. Every 11 minutes. This show will go on for about 60 minutes, so you got to figure about 9 people are checking out here as we speak. What's wrong with this picture, people? God gives us life. Most people are trying to live. Most people are trying to stick around. Most people want to die. Like, we got people getting the vaccine because they want to live, but there are people out here who don't want to live. That means they lost hope. It ain't about me or you. It's about showing people that they are loved. It's about showing people they are loved. Suicide takes the lives of only 48,500 Americans every year. The highest rate of suicide, which would be shocking, is among white American Indians and Alaskan Natives. Only about half of all Americans experience an episode of major depression and receive treatment. 89% of the people that seek treatment for depression are treated successfully using therapy and brought it impossible medication. An estimate of 285,000 each year become suicidal survivors. Let me stop here. Again, I worked in mental health with the military. I was a part of the combat stress team, so I've seen both hands. I also ran a lot of mental health departments in the military. And seeing that people who did not succeed is beyond one's imagination. For those who use a shotgun to take their life, those who doused themselves with gasoline, as again, this is the meat people. I'm not giving you the milk there. I'm not surfing today. I want you to realize that this is something that is deeply out here changing our lives. And see, for every person to take a life, that means another life is not going to come from that life. That means that the scientist that probably could come up with the cure for cancer is not going to be around. The person who can stop cardiovascular disease is not going to be around. The person who could come up with the vaccine for the coronavirus is not going to be around, because people are taking their lives, because we're not helping them to feel that they have hope for the future. Help them to feel that they are loved. You know, I know everybody likes to perpetrate like they got it going on. But too many people I know, when I talk to, and whether people acknowledge or not, the blessing that God gave me as an individual is that I know how to listen. And I listen to what people are not saying. And when I see that when people are talking, they're talking more out of, they're speaking death than life. They're complaining, not changing. They're complaining and not explaining. They're complaining about this person, that person. Their life ain't got this. They don't have that. They can't do this. They can't do that. I don't look like this. I don't act like that. I'm not this. I'm not that. All these things that are negative. And see, the more you bombard, just like faith, faith come by hearing and hear the word of God. Well, also you create a certain level of fear when you bombard yourself on a nonstop basis of this negativity. So we need to recognize the importance. Here, let me give you statistics to our veterans. As of 2010 to present day, 31,000 veterans have taken their lives. Combat veterans are more likely to have suicidal ideation associated with post-traumatic stress disorder, better known as PTSD and depression. But they are more likely to act with a suicidal plan. Especially since veterans may be more likely to not seek help for mental health. I would often tell my soldiers, again, you can't heal what you don't reveal. And hold it in here. I realize they train us to be soldiers, a weapon. But that weapon still has to come down. That weapon, when all said and done and war is over, the battle begins with the war inside. And we have to seek out this help. But as I look at people today, we're warriors in God's army. And it's because we're warriors in God's army, that still doesn't mean that we're exempt from not dealing with life challenges, as they say, the thorns of life, if you will, the cares of life, if you will, that would come and choke us out. Satan is busy. So people who profess to be Christians still deal with the issues that that life will bring to cause them to struggle. And for many of the veterans, longer times in war zone, I did basically, the tours are classified based on every 6 months. So every 6 months, my three tours had broken down, 2 years in Iraq, 1 year in Afghanistan, broken down and did basically six tours. So you're looking at longer times in the war zone, mind-blowing. It's beyond, you're watching TV, the sounds of explosion beyond what you got your best sound effects. To see what a mortar or a rocket explosion can do is beyond your comprehension. Even soldiers who've never been to war don't get it. To see people who you're peeling off an MRAP, which we classified as a modified tank. To see people struggling every day to make sense of their lives, because when they come home, their wife ain't there. Their children don't want them. People reject them. People afraid of them. These things have an impact on us. And if a person don't feel that they loved, accepted, and yet they just continue to be rejected, there's going to be a problem. So you have the other aspect of soldiers dealing with TBI, traumatic brain injury. of females at a high rate of taking their lives because of the assaults and abuse they may have experienced in the military or the discrimination, life-lasting injury. All these things have an impact on us. There are just so many challenges that we face that's far beyond, no disrespect, COVID. And I realize that COVID is the buzzword on everybody's mind, but there is still a world of pain and suffering that's beyond the COVID pandemic. And then we have a suicidal pandemic. So we need to recognize what is happening here. We need to look at what God wants us to do. It's to be there for our brothers and sisters, iron sharpening iron. As I said, in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another, build each other up. Build each other up. Are we really encouraging, building each other up? What are we doing to help others feel they have value? Many people today are disconnected because of social media, cell phones, techno platforms that's causing people to disconnect from each other. People don't even know their own neighbors. People don't speak. I live in a complex. I speak to everybody. Whether they speak back or not, it's not what they do, it's what I do. I want people to know you value. You are important to me to speak to. And in the course of that, I've had people down the road since I've been here a while in my complex, they have come and sought out counseling. I got a gentleman that got my same name, told me that the kid that he's basically mentoring, sponsoring, and helping, he wanted me to counsel him. He's of the other persuasion. At the end of the day, that shouldn't matter, but we know it does. But because of the rapport, because of the connection, because I let them know that you have value, now he saw my value through what God probably put on his heart. It's no wonder that many people are experiencing the fact that they're not experiencing the love that God intended for them to be able to experience. They're living day to day. Yes, they're going through the motions. They're doing the activities. They're going through what we call business as usual. But when they go home and they're in that quiet place, what do they deal with? Or when they go home, it ain't quiet. There's arguments. There's anger. There's hatred. There's ill will. There's grudges. There's backbiting. There's it's just awful. Children go home to abuse. Children go home to not have enough to eat. Children go home. They were abused in school, and they go back home, and they get abused at home. What are we doing, people? Philippians 2:4 tells everyone should look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. This is essential because we need to see that people, that we need to be able to give them the opportunity to recognize they are important. Children shouldn't feel that their parents don't care. Husbands shouldn't feel that their wives are not there. Wives should not feel their husband will not support them, love them, teach them, and be there to support them and protect them. They shouldn't feel that way. Not in this modern-day time of all the resources that God has provided us over the years to be able to truly connect with one another. Yet people still feel non-attached. So what causes people to entertain these thoughts? Let's look at some practical areas here. Mental illness. Most people make decisions to attempt suicide shortly before they do the impulsive relative planning it out. Why? Because one of the common causes is severe depression. According to the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention, depression is presented in about half of all suicides. And then there are other diagnoses, bipolar, borderline personality, eating disorders, schizophrenic. But one thing that I learned about in mental illness, a great deal of the mental illness is not as severe of the person, as we like to say, quote-unquote, layman term, that they're crazy. That's usually not the case. They're dealing with everyday issues that cause them to feel, again, not connected. All these diagnoses I just ran by, if properly treated and people treat them properly, they can make it. They can make it. Traumatic stress, person who has traumatic experience, including childhood sexual abuse, rape, physical abuse, war trauma, has a high risk level of committing suicide. Survey tells us that 6,000 U.S. adults, nearly 22% of the people who have been raped, have attempted suicide at some point, while 23 who experienced physical tried to take their lives as well. And as I mentioned earlier, PTSD, substance abuse issues, drug and alcohol can also influence people to feel that they need to take their lives. Well, it makes it easier. One of the great singers of the great group was Paul Williams from The Temptations. took his life at 30-something years old because he lost hope. He had the fear of losing everything. Financial problems, job loss, loss of friends, family acceptance, loss of social status, academic failure. Contrary to belief, it was a young man who, I forgot the university now, I think it was Southern California, went back to the professor and killed up the professor. Academic failure. These pressures are real, and as Satan seems to take them and multiply them and magnify them, it becomes overbearing for many people. So what happened? They become hopeless. Either short-term or long-term, they feel this hopelessness that they have nothing to contribute to the world. So when people feel they have lost all hope, they don't do not feel that things will change, it kind of overshadows every good thing that one may think in their life, making them feel that suicide is an option. As we used to always say, this is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. While it might seem obvious to the outside observer that things will get better, people with depression may not be able to see this due to the permissiveness and despair that goes along with the illness. And then there's chronic pain. I know about chronic pain. I've had 5 surgeries due to the helicopter accident. I'm in pain every day. Bone on bone is what my pain is about. Every day. Sometimes it feels like I can't even walk, but I'm determined. As I was talking to Elder today, I'm determined to walk. I don't care what the weather is. I've lost a lot of umbrellas because no matter whether it's storming, I fell and twisted my ankles and made things worse because I fell in the slick ice and snow, but I'm determined to keep walking. A part of that is part of my prayer time, but at the same time, I want to keep moving. I told God when I came off the table, Lord, you get me to walk again, I guarantee I ain't going to stop walking. And then there are other ailments that we don't entertain, again, because COVID has kind of taken over. But there's asthma, back pain, a brain injury, cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, epilepsy, high blood pressure, migraines, Parkinson, and a host of diseases that are out there and diagnoses that people are dealing with. We have no clue. It used to be the time of leprosy. But there are people walking around. I saw a beautiful young lady, and I can't pronounce the name, but the disease that Michael Jackson had, just amazingly beautiful. How does she deal with it? How do you make her feel beautiful? Because usually this disease doesn't start off visible. It starts off very small, and then it progresses. I know the news, I don't know his name, but there was a newscaster, I think he's still around, who had the disease as well. And, man, he got death threats. How are we making people feel love? But thank God he had a strong will and a connection to God that would allow him to keep pressing forward, staying in the race. But then let's look at some people who took their own lives out of the Bible. This is out of Judges 16:30. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed with all his might and the house upon all the people that were there. He gave up, but he gave up in his case with a purpose, but he still took his life. In his case, because, again, he knew that he had fallen short. He had missed the mark. He lost focus. Saul took a sword and fell on it out of 1 Samuel 31:4. And when Saul that Saul was there, he fell upon one himself. And we all know the story about Judas casting down the piece of silver in the temple, departed and went and hung himself out of Matthew 27:5. Satan is busy. And then we know that Satan even tried to come back. See, again, we can't heal what we don't reveal. This is real, people. And the worst tragedy of all, when people just poo-poo it away, it's like what I noticed with us as a human being. If it's not our issue, we don't entertain it. But all of a sudden, everybody becomes an advocate of cancer when they get cancer. Everybody becomes an advocate of diabetes when they get diabetes. Everybody becomes an advocate when their child has autism. Everybody becomes an advocate when one of their family members ends up with Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. It's too late. It's too late in the sense of what you could have been doing for prevention. You still can jump in and make a contribution, but we should be an advocate every day to be the person, again, iron sharpens iron, to let people know that they are loved. Because, again, as I said, this is not about me and you. It's about letting people know they are loved. So they don't want to give up, no matter what their tragedy may be. Because you look good today, as my doctor always tells me, David, you look good on the outside. but I got battles going in. But I believe, this is what I believe, that God's healing power is every day. When he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, upon him was the testament of our peace. By his stripes we are healed. I claim that every day. Why I claim it every day? Because his word is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You can't waver me. You can't waver me. And if not, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, if not, my God still will deliver, because I'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord. See, we have to get past the fears that Satan created and walk in the faith that God gave us. He gave us all the same measure of faith to build upon. And he started with, he's saying that you don't have to have a whole lot, just the faith the size of a mustard seed. But we got to get there. That's why, as I talked about another show, we got to be delivered. We got to be developed. We got to be directed towards our destiny. But if you can't see a destiny when you feel hopeless, who are you connected to right now that you can see that they're feeling hopeless? Is your girlfriend telling you that she's feeling sad, she's feeling blue? What are you doing? Oh, girl, don't worry about it. You get you another man. That ain't the answer. She may need you to do like Lou did with the young man. She may need you to listen. See, this is real, because even Satan understood it so much as a powerful tool. He attempted to do this in the wilderness with Jesus out of Matthew 4:11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. As after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Devil don't lead. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. Hello, let's imagine the Sears Tower. And he says to him, if you are the Son of God, he said, trying to create doubt, throw yourself down, for it is written. See, doubt is a powerful tool. Once you begin, doubt has twofold. Doubt is good because you can doubt out of inquiry. You say, well, they said the world was flat. I doubt that. Let me do what I need to do, set my game up and go see that the world is really flat. Or doubt can be the thing that prevents you from even moving. It can freeze you in your own, in your tracks. So it's important that we recognize, as Jesus said, for it is written, he will command. For it is written, he says, for he command his angels concerning you, the devil said this, and they will lift you up in their hand, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. But Jesus came and answered, yes, it is also written, do not put your Lord God to the test. Don't tempt God. But again, as I said earlier, we got to know this. There are too many people that don't know the power of God's word. I was telling someone this today, well, the elders, if you will. Too many people, when they were saying, you know, that it was kind of saying that people were speaking with forked tongues. One minute they cursing, and the next minute they're talking about God, or they cursing God and then praising God. And I said, they just haven't grown. They haven't been delivered. It is our responsibility as soldiers. It is our responsibility as disciples to teach. And it's our responsibility at the time to speak and time to be silent. See, you got to know when to listen and when to talk. That's the only way you're going to really get that is through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. So if we know this and we develop this, then we help those who don't know, who are still in the struggle trying to figure it out. Because, again, we can easily discourage them and they give up. They can feel just like Judas and say, I can't come back. But see, one thing we know you can, because Peter did the same thing. He told both of them they were going to do something to him, betray him and deny him. But yet, Jesus, that was like the prodigal son's father, let Peter come back with open arms. Judas could have came back too. But when you feel hopeless, you fall into despair. You start to create that doubt that you're not worthy, you have no value. But we know that we're worthy because God sent his only begotten son. So we must recognize this and we must share this. Again, it's about helping people feel loved too. So we can see this even real in God's word. Satan and his demons are out to take us out. This is why we must be there, support each other, communicate with each other, spend time with each other. Otherwise, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And I know firsthand experience that the worst thing can happen to a parent is to see their child take their life. So what are the common warning signs that you may see? You need to know this. Again, I know many people don't spend a whole lot of time on this, so I don't even have to feel bad that I'm sharing something that everybody already know, because for the most part, there's always somebody that don't know. And usually that's the one that missed it, and the child is gone or their husband is gone. So I'll just point out some key points. Being sad or moody, sudden calmness, withdrawing from others, changing personality appearance or sleeping patterns, showing dangerous or self-harm behavior, experiencing recent trauma or life crisis, being in a state of deep despair, making preparation. See, you notice that there are people who begin to get their business in order, as they call it. This might include visiting friends, family members, giving away personal possessions, making a will, cleaning up their rooms and homes. Often the person will search online for ways to do it. Some people will write a note before they do this. Or the next will be threatening suicide or talking about wanting to die. Not everyone who considers suicide will say so. Not everyone who threatens suicide will follow through with it. However, every threat of suicide should be taken seriously. So what might one do to try to prevent it? Learn the risk factors for suicide. Be alert to the signs of depression and mental health conditions. Recognize suicide warning. Provide care and support. Ask directly the person. Don't be afraid. Ask them. People receive support from their caring friends and family who have access to mental health services are less likely to act on their suicidal impulses than those who do not and are isolated out or not supported. The scripture tells us in Ephesians 4:21-24, when you heard about Christ and were taught to him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by the deceitful desire, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in the true righteousness of holiness. See, that old mind is where Satan can dab at. He can dip and dab in your head. As George Myers would say, it's still battlefield. And you have to be renewed by the transformation of your mind. It's a process. But we have to give people new information so we can help them to change their old way of thinking. I was in a situation the other day that caused me to entertain some old thoughts. And as I sat there, I said, you know what, Satan? God's word told me to think on these things that is true, that is just, that is honest, that is pure, that is of virtue, that is lovely, and that is praiseworthy. See, it instantly is shifted because I wanted to address the issue. I wanted my old me, my emotional me, wanted to address the issue. But as Pastor Prophet Teresa would say, I checked myself before I wrecked myself. So it's so important. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in, unless, of course, you fail the test? We have to check ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. We have to look at ourselves. What are we dealing with? Are we letting someone take control of us? Are we allowing people to emotionally manipulate us, as I like to call it, emotional blackmail, causing us to do things that don't help us to be our best, but to recognize ourselves as less? We need to wake up. See, God has already determined that we have value. And once we recognize that he values us, God is good to always put people in our path to help us. I've learned now to look at it this way. I have reasonable expectation of man, that God will work through man to meet all the expectations for the plan he has for my life. I won't put that burden on other people. And hopefully they don't put it on me. But we got to be taught this. So it's essential that we help by sharing knowledge and wisdom and helping people to gain understanding through discernment, through the Holy Spirit, to be able to recognize their value, that they are loved too. See, it ain't about me or you. People say suicide is self-act. Absolutely. Why? Because in that moment, they're only thinking about themselves. And so, well, that's selfish. But it's about them. It ain't about you. When I eat, you don't get fat. So you don't have my experience. So whatever they're dealing with, high or low, many times when we were kids, kids felt bad. And you said, what's the matter? Oh, Johnny left me. Oh, Betty left me. Oh, boy, that girl ain't nothing but puppy love. It's love to them. It ain't about you. See that little extra 5 minutes there? Come on, son. My son with that. Let's walk and talk. They made a commercial about you want a lifesaver. But my son went through some of his little heartache, and we took a ride and talked, and he was better prepared. It took him a minute to remove the picture he had as his cover for the girl he liked, but he got through it. I was with my son Sunday, and it brought me to tears when I looked over and I realized he was driving his new car that he bought, that he was maturing as he was talking to me about politics and things of this nature. I said, my son is grown. He's a grown man. He's maturing. But I could think that if I didn't come home, what would his life been like? Who would he been caught up with? That time, that quality time, to let him know he's always valued. When he made a bad decision, you still valued. When he went the wrong way, you still valued. When he didn't know what to do, he still valued. When he disappointed me, he still valued. We need to make our children feel that they're worth the weight in gold because they are our future. They are our future. The greatest love. See, the greatest girl that I remember, George Benson made that song. I think Whitney made it too. But the greatest love is the love that God gives us. God gives us. Once we can implant that or impregnate that into the spirit of an individual, hopelessness goes out the window. And they see the hope and the future and the prosperity that God has for them to move forward to be the best that they can be. It ain't about me and you. It's about helping them know that they've been loved. Isaiah 41:10 tells us, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Jesus reached down and pulled Peter out of a hopeless situation. The people in the different countries, or even down south, well, I think Ida has taken over. Imagine. But when we know that God is there and we don't have to fear, not in the terror fear. There's always reverent fear. You have to have some respect of fear about putting your hand on the stove. So fear has its place in one sense, but that's the reverent fear, not that terror fear that stifles you, that freezes you in your track. And then 1 John 4:4 says, You dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. God lives in us. God is there for us. And this is what we have to recognize. Thus, we must be there for each other. People need to feel they belong. They need to know that they have value and they are supported. They need to know that you understand their situation. And when we present, I remember presenting about the five love languages, and I said that the one that was important to me was quality time, because quality time defines that provides the opportunity for us to be able to get to know the individual, not know of them. See, many times of the symptoms or the signs that you may see, you miss them because you don't know the person. You don't know the person. Because they don't look like you, act like you, talk like you. But that's not what Jesus did. He got to know 12 disciples, and he spent the quality time with them. 3 years. He could have came and gave them 3 weeks. But he spent quality time with them. And then he gave them words of affirmation so they could feel inspired and motivated. As Paul told Timothy, God did not give you the spirit of fear, but a power of love and sound mind. Stir up your gifts. Your gifts are important. So if we help others to feel that they have value, they have purpose, we can help people to move in the direction that God intended them to move. They won't want to give up on life. That's what we're talking about. The word suicide has a bad kind of sound. It's like ignorant. But at the end of the day, it has some purpose, because recognizing that this is not about the word itself, this is about the act itself. Giving up on life, getting out of the race. Not finishing it. And I can imagine that all that Paul went through, and went, even more Jesus, but let's bring it to where we at, because Jesus is at a whole different level. But I imagine what Paul went through. And at the end of the day, he was getting ready to be beheaded. But he said, I finished the race. He endured. He maintained the resiliency to keep pressing forward. As my bishop would always say, fight the good fight of faith. Full assurance in the heavens, our heavenly Father, that he will do what he said he would do, that his word would not return void, but accomplish that which he sent it. This is so important. So this week, as you go forward, it is essential that you wake up and recognize the symptoms of the people around you. Pay attention to the signs of the people that are around you, good, bad, or indifferent. Pay attention. Spend a little quality time. It's not about the amount of time. It's the quality of the time. If a child knew that their daddy was going to be with them for 10 minutes, 7 days a week, 365 days, when you do the math, that child got quality time. And if you did that on an ongoing basis for 10 years, you had an 8-year-old. When he turned 18, look what you could give him. He wouldn't give up hope. He wouldn't be probably in prison. He would have no need for drugs and alcohol to make him have that pseudo feeling of importance. His confidence would be based on the word of God. He would know who he is and where he's going and what he needs to accomplish. The same with our women. But today our women are moving on up. They're moving on up and they ain't holding them up. Maybe the pendulum swung a little bit too far over. That's just a personal perspective. And that might be for another time to talk about. Because we still need to do check and balance. Because some of the things that women despise, they become themselves. Because what happens, and I think I was told a story about a mother who was a home, stay-home mom. She began to work. When she came home, her whole presentation changed. She would be snappy. She get angry. I just walked in the door. So the things that he's complained about the daddy, now the mama's doing it. Because there's pressures that come to people. You're stressed out, turned out, and given out. That's why you end up burnout. So we got to work together to help people to find the check and balance. So we move into the latter part of my show, is that I like to acknowledge this other wasn't one that inspired anyone to shout for joy. However, I do believe that that is a need for us to address it. Because, again, Satan is on his mission to kill and to destroy our lives. This is something that we can't sweep under the rug anymore. We can't avoid it, and we need to discuss it. It is a wake-up call to order. Let us be there for each other. Let us be iron to sharpen iron. And just for the point out, if anyone's considering a suicide or having suicidal ideation, there are different things, numbers you can call. One is obviously 911. The other is 1-800-273-8255. Then you have the National Hotline Network, 1-800-SUICIDE. You have the National Suicide Prevention Line, 1-800-273-TALK. So these are other organizations you can talk into. I mean, you can contact. Remember, don't give in on life, because Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us as a new creature in Christ so we can do the good thing he planned for us a long time ago. And as always, salvation is so important. So it's important that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Once you do that, you can begin to develop the strength to become who God intended you to be. And as I always like to say, there are great speakers, or if you will, pastors, teachers, who can help you to move forward in your walk, because it is a walk and a process. First, at Kingdom Builder Development Institute. If you have questions or prayer requests, you can contact us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. Contact the home office at 313-583-9739. And please sow into the ministry at www.givelify.com, givelify.com. And as always, in parting, you pray for me, I pray for you. Let us watch the miraculous things that God will do. He can change us by transforming us into who he intended us to be, taking us from the old man to become the new man in Christ and be soldiers for life. God bless you. Appreciate you. Thank you for listening. Love you.